Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to remind everybody the call-in number, 323-203-0815. And if you get a call from a number you don't recognize and you've called the show, make sure you pick up. We don't want to talk to your voicemail. We want to talk to you. We want you to get in the hot seat with Dr. Allen. So, speaking of Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
I know, and I feel alive, so come and use me.
All right. Well, you know, Dr. Allen, I wanted to mention that the Want Institute brings us here to be with everybody each and every Thursday, and I wanted to thank LA Talk Radio for putting us on the air on different nights at different times on different stations. But Thursday is the only night that people can talk to us live.
Good.
Okay. So I'm going to check in with Sam at the switchboard and see what is shaking, see if we have any calls yet. And got a message. Look at that. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you very much. I just got a job as a flight attendant, which I'm super excited about, but I was talking to some other flight attendants and, you know, men typically ask them out, and the way they do it, she said there's a pattern that the man will come up towards the end of the flight and, hand you his business card and say, call me when you're in such and such a town. I want to take you to dinner or something like that. Now, I know as Pat, standards, we don't call men. However, I also have learned, surprisingly, that when a man tells me to do something, it's okay.
We call men if we have decided to be a man. I am not
right,
prejudiced
that's correct.
Against men being women and women being men. Men have a right to want to be cherished first, respected second. Women have a right to be respected first and cherished second. So I want to be very clear that I'm not prejudicial about people with penises have to be male. They don't.
Yes, thank you for that correction. I absolutely agree, and I do understand that. I was quick in my presentation, so I apologize for that. But so thank you. So how would I handle that, being wanting to be the feminine female energy? And if he does that, but I would like him to call me, and I don't have much time because I'm working on the plane, but he also told me to call him if I come to this town, or what do you suggest?
What you say to him is what day and at what time. I do not want to risk being disappointed.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I know.
What if he says just when you come to town?
What
if he just says, well, call me when you come to town? Then I should say maybe, here's my number.
I want to know, sir, what day is best and between 2 and 4? What time would be best and most likely you would be there to answer? I don't want to be disappointed. It will hurt my feelings, and I don't feel good, and I'm a woman, and I'm oozing with estrogen and neurotransmitters that want dopamine, not norepinephrine.
Oh, I love you. That's right. That's absolutely right. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good.
Give it a go. It works. What I teach is based on the science of human beings' bodies, especially in the area of sexuality.
Yes. And I don't like being disappointed. If I send a text or something, I hate it. I don't mind if the guy just doesn't recall me, but I don't like when he doesn't respond. You're absolutely right.
And I want you to understand that many, many men are right-handed. They have a smaller corpus callosum because they think they're either thinking or they're feeling. So they can handle disappointment better than we do.
Oh, that's because of the size of their corpus callosum, huh?
That's right, because when right-handed men get disappointed, they say next and go after it.
Oh, interesting. Well, thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. Give it a go.
All right. I will. Thank you so much. That answers my question.
Call again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Bye-bye. All righty. I want to take care of a little bit of business here. Dr. Allen has groups, and if you would like to get on our waiting list, if you want to get on our waiting list, then you're going to reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email to get on the waiting list for our groups, and we do them 4 days a week, multiple times those 4 days. We don't do them on Thursday because we're here on Thursday with y'all. So 323-203-0815 is the number to call to hop into the hot seat with Dr. Allen. Okay, so Dr. Allen,
yes.
You also do life scripts. And life scripts, you do life scripts.
Yes, I like to do life scripts, and I love... If somebody wants to read about scripts, read Claude Steiner's, the therapist Claude Steiner, TA. He's dead, I'm sorry to say, but he gave it a real go while he was here. And he wrote a book, Scripts People Live. And it's a beautiful book about the various processes and the various effects of scripting. Everybody scripted, but you get to read it if you have somebody that knows anything about it. That's what.
Oh my goodness, we've lost Dr. Pat. That is so weird. We're having some technical troubles.
I didn't touch the phone.
I don't know, Dr. Pat. You may have a wonky internet connection. I'm not sure what's happening. We're going to try to update some software for you after the show tonight or tomorrow. I'll probably be talking to Bobby over the weekend, see if we can get you updated. There may be just, you may have some old software we need to take care of. So we'll move on from that. Go ahead. You were talking about Claude Steiner's Scripts People Live.
So what are we doing right now?
Well, we were talking about your script class.
Well, I don't have a script class. Scripts.
Yes, your script appointments.
The script appointments. It's an hour, and you have to book through Sue for a script to be read.
Yeah, info.
She sends the questions. You write them out on the paper. Then we talk on the phone. And what's really good about it, I don't know you, and you know me a little bit, but what I read is based on the theories of Claude Steiner as a protege of Eric Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
But it, according to my understanding, certified by a wonderful psychiatrist, Saul Samuels, and he, in effect, said that I was a good transactional analyst. No, he was a psychiatrist and I was a marriage family therapist, but what I know about TA is good.
Oh, yeah. What you know about TA is amazing, Dr. Allen. Okay, so you reach out to Susie via email at info@drpatallen.com. to set one of those appointments with Dr. Allen. And We've got a Facebook question. All right.
So
I don't understand how a woman leads a man. I thought the man was the leader. I'm confused. Is the woman a leader if she wants respect?
Yes.
Okay.
Women have female bodies, but they have a very powerful soul called the animus. And Carl Jung's wife, Emma, wrote a very nice book about animus.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see what I mean?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Another gay therapist, Sanford is his name, wrote The Invisible Partners. And those are when, for example, when a man falls in love, his female impacts his maleness and he becomes vulnerable and lovable. When mm-hmm. a woman is in love, it better be with herself, because women get what they want when they know what they don't want and say so using my tools.
Yeah. Definitely. We're going to go over those tools a little bit later on tonight, too.
Excellent.
Here we have another question. And she says, Dr. Allen, how should I ask a guy's age if he likes me more than he's very friendly at the gym? Should I write him a letter? I'm 28 years old. He introduced himself last week, and he's been flirting and staring at me for a couple of months now. He wears college gear and looks younger than me. I can tell he likes me. I want to feel comfortable about his age before anything continues.
I want you to know that I don't want you to interview him unless you want to be the head, the respected leader of the relationship.
Right. And also, too, Dr. Allen, I want to point out what you say, which is so lovely, is how many times a person's made a circuit around the sun, unless, of course, he's a minor, is kind of irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant, except it's called a prejudice.
Well, there's lots of that out in the world, isn't there?
No.
So his age is a non-factor, really, unless, like we've said before,
that if you have smelled him and you are attracted to his body through pheromones, which are the cells that are released by his body and picked up by your nose, run through your palate, hit your Jacobson's organ in your brain, and then impacts your pituitary, well, it impacts your Bartholomew glands, which produce your lubricant, and then it produces a trigger in your pituitary, which causes you to release oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
And that binds you physically to his body, the smell of him, literally. It doesn't smell like roses. It simply is cellular, and it goes through your nervous system, and you cannot think the back are a little like your dad and a little not like your dad. He has the diversification necessary for nature to want your babies. If his cellular makeup is too much like your dad, it's forbidden. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like taboo then. It's sort of like a taboo type of thing. So, yeah. So it's taboo.
Hello?
Yeah, so it's taboo then, Dr. Pat.
I don't know when it turns off. I'll watch the stretcher thing.
Right, you're fine. It's I was saying it's forbidden. It's too. If it's like that.
If it's too much like your dad, it's alien. It's too much like your dad.
Right, and right.
When you, I've had experiences where people in this particular case, they were from Saudi Arabia, and they were very high class, but this man wanted to marry his cousin.
Oh, wow.
And what happened to the babies they created?
Usually there's some sort of a birth defect or malformity.
So it was worse, dead.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's horrible.
I have an Indian grandson, love the dear darling. Anyway, his wife, who's also Indian, told me some things about Indians. Do you know how Indians do this?
They
can't pick tribes.
Right.
You
right.
cannot mix. They don't go through the biological. If you're from tribe A, and I have a father that's from type A, I can't marry you no matter what. I can have sex with you. I can have if I'm that form of woman, but I can't be honored as a tribal member. Isn't that interesting? So
yeah, it definitely is. And not only that, I've done some work on genealogy of tribal members, to get them tribal inclusion.
This thing turns off on me.
I know, Dr. Pat. Yeah,
we're staring at the window. So what do I do?
We're just going to hang in there for a little while tonight. If we can't get it straightened out, then we will, like I said, I'll contact Bobby and see if she can get Skype loaded onto your tablet. So,
or another day.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, let's see if we can make it through.
I'm not touching the phone. What I'm not doing is staring at the speaker. I'm going to stare at the speaker now.
Okay, Dr. Pat. I have a feeling it's your internet connection that we're having a problem with, but I'm saying genealogy, and I've done genealogy for other tribal members with respect to that. So yeah, I understand that nuance of the Native American tribal culture with respect to that intermarriage. So here we have another young woman. And she says this, Dr. Pat, I got engaged in December after...
Hey, my speaker is gone.
Hello? Hello, hello, Dr. Pat, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see that... when I'm speaking, I can't tell that... I can't speak to the speaker.
Gotcha. All right. Well, here, just hang in there. Let's just listen for a minute. All right. So he dated me for 2 years. Now we're engaged, but he won't set a date for the wedding. How long do I wait, or what tool do I use to get a date set for the wedding?
That's where women's feelings come in. Men pretty much run their lives from their cortex intuition. They do they interview you. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Women run their lives, and we're finding this out more and more, by their neurotransmitters. Cortisol, dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin. So the truth of the matter is, people's wiring for dating, for aging, for how many kids, for what religion, for political, whatever, the more masculine person. But a woman can be very, very masculine. She just needs a very, very sensitive man. Einstein, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Jefferson. These are all left-handers because men create with their left, with their feelings, their soul, the anima, and women create with their animus, masculine.
Yes.
Do you see?
Oh, I do. Yes, most certainly.
And my animus by Dr. Kim and Dr. Let's see.
Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee.
Yeah, that's right. This, I have mixed ancient Chinese philosophy with Western. That's what I've done.
Right. You're the intertwined. The East and West philosophies combine.
That's exactly right. And by doing so, the science makes them equal with different words. I'm a transactional analyst. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits, scripted habits, language, dialects. Beware of your habits becomes your character. Do I want to be respected or do I want to be cherished? Do I want to be the leader or do I want to be the yin follower? These are all life questions. And your family and your church and your political set will mold you into a script if they can. And most therapists, like me, make our living off of being molded by other people, and it doesn't work for us. So we get upset and depressed.
Right.
And that's what therapy's for.
Yeah, well, you're kind of like, you know, the actual yin and yang symbol, Dr. Pat, half-half, with that energy.
Yes, I understand that. I'm an alpha. Alpha people are both intellectual and feminine sensitive.
That is so true. Hey, you have a caller on. Do you want to take a call?
And this is what cultures have done. New soul, old soul.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a caller on the line, Dr. Pat. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, hi. I'm calling because I'm concerned about my well-being. I am a Black woman, and I, throughout my life, have struggled with friendships, and I'm in my...
What was that you just said? Kelly, what did she say? Several years of what?
Struggled years of what, my dear?
I've struggled with friendships.
Friendships.
Well, mm-hmm. What level of friendships? Sexual, non-sexual, political, religious?
Non-sexual. Just having friends my own age.
Are you saying you have friendships with men?
No, I have struggled with having friendships with other women, other girls as a kid, and that has continued into adulthood.
What is it you are attracted to? Are you straight or are you lesbian?
I'm straight. I'm not attracted to them. I didn't have...
Are they attracted? Do you attract lesbians?
No.
Okay.
I have never been on a date with a guy, and that's why I was saying I've struggled with friendships, because I've struggled with having friends in general. And so I just want to know, what is it that I can do?
Have you done any therapy?
Yes. I've been working
with... Have you done EMDR?
Yes.
Did it work?
Are around friendships, though.
So. You can do it around what?
I didn't... EMDR was around... anger and some trauma that I've had in the past.
Yes, but was it based on friendship, sexuality, what?
It was based on the abusive relationship that I've had with my parents.
With your parents? Who's the, the man in the family? Mom or dad?
My mom.
Okay. So that's your role model. Do you want to be like your mom?
No.
Have you thought of any of women and we work together 1 month, four sessions at a time?
No, but that sounds interesting.
Kelly, do you want to do a commercial now?
Yeah, let me hop in here. So, caller, what you can do is get on our waiting list, and we do many groups every month. We meet four times a month, once a week, and you can get on the waiting list for whatever time works within reason. It's reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com.
Okay, I will do that.
Do you want to study what I'm teaching, the combo of Chinese philosophy and Western?
Yes, I do.
Have you read Getting to I Do yet?
Yes, I have.
Did you feel the truth in it?
I did. Yes, I did.
Because that's where women specialize with their neurotransmitters. Women have to feel good to do good at anything. So when you get scripted to be a man, or you get scripted to be a woman and you're a man, you are in a troubled spot. That's like I'm doing right now, attempting to use some mechanical equipment so I can teach what I love teaching. Do you see?
Yeah.
I have 10 groups with 50 women now. And I love it.
Well, I want to be a part of that.
Then look at the website and get on the list, and you'll get into it.
And in the meantime, while you're waiting, you can go to www.drpatallen.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you're going to hear a download for chemistry, compatibility, and communications, which is totally free right now while you're waiting for your turn on the waiting list.
Okay, I'll do that too.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to be respected first, cherished second, or cherished first, respected second?
Cherished first, respected second.
Okay. Then you've got to have a man that acts like your mother, and you've got to act more like your father.
Yeah.
Are they still together?
They are still together, yes.
Well, it works for them. I'm not prejudicial about men should be men and women should be men and men women. Do you know that every baby for a week after it's conceived is female? You know my book, Man's World, Woman's Universe? It even starts out that way. Every little egg is female until mother produces SRI gene, and she and the little baby that has, that is got the male gene, create testosterone that converts the female body into a male up until about 20 weeks of pregnancy. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Cool.
So I teach that four people are in every relationship. Everyone, parents, kids, grandparents. There's four people trying to waltz. I teach verbal waltzing to four people that are often taught to compete and fight and not love. There's only three ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear, you better do it or else. You can seduce with guilt and shame. How could you do that? I gave you everything I had. Cherishing. Because everybody, men have male bodies, but they have female souls, the anima. Women have female bodies, but they have male souls, the animas. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I definitely can see how that plays out.
And I teach those four entities how to negotiate with love and respect. In my classes, women get engaged. They get married. It's awesomely wonderful. Yeah, everything I teach is based on science.
Yeah.
And they also make friends. Our ladies in our groups make friends, too. They often make friends with each other, and they have very strong connections.
So much. But they might, one is living in, I know one lives in Iceland, and whether we like it or not, I've had clients call from Russia, South Africa, a lot in Australia.
Yeah, and make friends all over the place and work towards.
Thank God for Zoom.
The life that you want. Amen to that.
So, what can I do now? Can I help?
Also, want to share that I'm working on losing weight. I've changed the way I've been eating, but I also have a lot of weight to lose, and I wonder if that plays a part in maybe.
Joey, I didn't hear that.
Interesting. I'm morbidly obese, and I'm wondering if that also plays a part in guys not being interested in me.
Remember, this is recorded now on podcast. People are listening to all the years I've been on the radio over and over again.
So she's asking, Dr. Pat, if you think the fact that she is, as she says, morbidly obese is a factor.
Of course it is. When a woman has to eat or drink or use drugs to dull the pain of being an individual, because she's been trained to be an individual that she's not. Darling, if your dad walked in the room, would he say, how did you do today? Or how did you feel about what you did?
How do I feel about what I did?
What?
How did I feel about what I did?
And if you told him I didn't feel good, did he say, what can I do to help you feel better?
Yes.
Marvelous. So your mother was male, and your father likes male women.
Yes.
Does he really not know that you're a feeling-centered woman? Do you want to read a good book about this?
Yes, I'm interested.
Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard. It's a book about the impression that your father has for women impacts any baby girl. My father wanted a boy. I'm supposed to be Patrick. And I was Patricia, and I weighed finally at 35, 205 pounds on a 5'1" body. This morning, I weighed 121 pounds. How come? Because I had a wonderful psychiatrist in India, lady, Shobana Vora. She's retired, but she literally saved my life, and she wasn't even a transactional analyst. She simply was a good scientist that helped me. Then I got into TA. So how much do you weigh?
As of this morning, 305.
How much?
305.
You're 305 pounds. Well, yeah. How tall are you?
5'6".
5'6". You and I were averaging for our size, basic weight. We were the same, grossly overweight from eating sedative foods. I was right, I'm 51 years. My father was a drunk. When men drink, they become women. When women drink, they become men, like your mother. Is your mother enjoying being respected?
Yeah, I think so.
And your father enjoys being cherished?
Yeah.
And what do you enjoy?
Being cherished.
Does anybody cherish you? Anybody? Do you have a sister or brother?
I have a brother. We're estranged. I can't think of anyone that cherishes me.
Is your brother a girl or a boy?
I would say he's a boy.
He wants to do good to feel good? Or does he want to feel good to do good?
I think he wants to do good to feel good.
And has he a girlfriend?
No.
Why not?
I'm not sure. We haven't had a relationship in 8 years.
Wait a minute.
And
is your brother gay?
I don't think so.
You do or don't?
I don't. Do not.
Okay, kids.
Right.
And you have no marriages, no kids?
Nope, same.
So you've been scripted for somebody you're not.
Yeah.
I want you to read Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard at the impression that your father created in your head about what he thinks of you.
Okay.
So?
I'll order that off of Amazon as soon as we get off the call.
Do you want to continue to listening to my show as we fix the audit part?
Yes, I will continue to listen to your show.
And be sure you call and ask questions, because I love to answer questions scientifically.
Yeah, I can. I'm going to order this book and send the email so I can get on the waiting list for the women's group. And if I have more questions, I'll definitely call back.
Okay, please call back.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for
calling.
Thank
you, caller. We want to update, and we look forward to seeing you in group.
Yes, look forward to being there.
Thank you. Information. And very interesting that her brother and her are estranged. I want to dig so deep into so many questions, and I'm like, shush up, Kelly. Okay, so we have another one of our wonderful ladies, and then she says, I'm so sorry I can't call because I'm driving, but I have a question. I'm listening as I'm going along the road. Can you go over your very special tool, Where Did You Go? I used it over text with a man, but then I didn't know what to do next. I said, where did you go? And he said, I'm right here. I just got off of my work. I'm on my way home. And then I didn't know what to say after that. Then I never heard from him again. It's been 7 weeks.
Okay. The style of date request. You date him once or twice, and he says, we had good time. I'm going to call you next week, and we'll set up another date. Now, have you got that? He said, we've dated once or twice, and I liked it, and I want to call you next week. Next week is usually Monday or Tuesday after you've dated him, Friday or Saturday. Is that correct? She's not on the phone.
That's correct, though, Dr. Allen. That's generally how it goes.
So when Monday comes along, not a week from Monday, not 2 weeks, not a long time, you said we had a good time and you would call and set a date. Where did you go?
I love it.
And then he said, well, I was working and I was doing this. No, where did you go? I gassed you. I dropped you. I didn't call you and let you know.
Right.
I didn't care.
Right. So he still has one more week.
Where did you go? Here's what happens with a good guy. He calls you before he breaks the date, even if it's 5 minutes before. I can't make it. I can't make it. If he does an accident, he will call you and say, I had a car accident and couldn't call.
Right.
So there's nothing to say after you say, you said you were going to call after we had a good date or two, and you didn't call. And I felt rejected, uncherished. And then he can say, oh, my God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Or he can say, oh, come on, it's just a date, which means he's a woman and you're not.
Got it. Hey, we've got a caller on, Dr. Pat. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, how are you? Just confused, and I was wondering if you could help me out, Dr. Pat.
Until 6 o'clock.
Okay. I have brought up this gentleman with you before, and I just had a great evening with him the other night. We had a great evening.
Are you in a committed relationship?
I thought we were, but until just not too, just the other day.
Did he betray you?
Well, like I said, we had a great night. We were intimate. He was so loving. And then last night we got together, and he was kind of distant, kind of trying to be a little mean almost, like just with things he was saying. And he was trying to pick little fights, and I did get upset. And I can't figure out why he's doing that. And, you know, I did invite him to a family function.
Get mad at him so he can blame you for victimizing him. He wants to be outed by you so he isn't guilty.
Okay. Do you think he might be seeing someone else? And he just, because he kept trying to accuse me of that kind
of
stuff.
Course.
And I was like, no, I am
and
not
I
seeing
want
anyone.
To understand. I want you to understand that he's got 8 weeks to get back to you.
Okay.
So you do not have to call him. You do not have to do anything.
Okay. To something, maybe a family function or something. And he always has an excuse not to go. So I invited him to something this weekend in advance because he says I never give him enough notice. And then he acted like this, and then he told me he couldn't go Saturday because he had something planned, and I got a little upset. I said, of course you do. And, yeah, so.
I don't hear. Do you have sex with him? Do you believe you're in a committed relationship?
Yeah, we talked about it. He said, yeah, I'm your boyfriend. We're together. I'm only seeing you, but I've been kind of wondering if he is seeing someone else.
It's possible that he's looking for a replacement.
Okay. Yeah. And we've been together for almost 5 years.
No, you've not been together 5 years. You've dated for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I'm thinking.
If he calls you, do you want to be legally married to him?
I did, and then we talked, and he doesn't really want marriage, but he wants to be with someone, committed to someone, and live with someone, and I said, well, I could do that.
Mated. He wants to
mated.
Be mated. I have no problem with mating.
Yeah, and I told him that. I said, I would be game. You know, we just have to, you know, make that true commitment with each other, and... But there's something holding him back, and I just can't figure him out.
If he calls you, would you be willing to up your title to fiancé, even if you never marry?
I asked him that one time because you told me that, and he goes, well, that means marriage.
That's legal. Money is involved. And if a man doesn't want to be married, he does not want his money tangled up.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that you do nothing at all until he does or doesn't call you in the next 8 weeks. And when
the bad
you
thing
do,
is I left something at his house, and I was supposed to pick it up after work. And then he said he wasn't home because he's like, oh, just you could pick it up later. So he said he wasn't home. I'll text you when you can pick it up. And I don't even know if I should.
Wait till then. He may be deciding what to do with somebody.
Oh, I think so. Because this weekend he told me he went out of town, and I wasn't sure, because when I questioned him about being out of town, he didn't want to talk about it.
You know, do not ever give a man more than a year to make a commitment to an exclusive relationship monogamously, continuously, and long-term goals. So you're mated, 5 years is way down the line. For that reason, wait for him to call. Don't be mad. Just be free to be you, dating who you want without sex. And when he says, I want to see you, tell him, you know what? I want a better title than periodic girlfriend. I want to be engaged, even if we never marry.
Okay. That sounds good.
And by doing so, by doing that, what you're doing is you're raising, see, you're married now. Do you understand that? You're bonded to his body, aren't you?
Yes, very much. Mm-hmm.
So I want to help you stay married physically with him, because things can change. But the problem is that when you get engaged, you will not have sex with anybody else, but you will have lunch. You see what I'm saying?
He calls that cheating. Like, I used to tell him when we were first dating, yeah, I went to lunch with a friend and he was a male. And he brings that up even now, like, oh, well, you used to go out. You used to. And I said, we weren't really together yet. You know, I said, I could be truly committed if we had that relationship, like one that goes out, man, but relationship, I have the freedom to date.
That's right. So I want to get
very upset.
I want you to get a ring on the finger that says you're taken.
Mm-hmm.
And see what he does.
And do what, Dr. Pat?
No, that he would put a ring on your finger, a gold band.
I've asked him that, and he just kind of laughs it off. And he,
what?
He laughs it off, and he doesn't do it.
He doesn't do what?
Put a ring. I already told him about the ring, too, and he kind of laughs it off, and he won't do it.
He doesn't have to do it because he knows you'll give it to him for free.
Yeah.
So how about we raise the cost to a ring with a title?
Okay.
Are you willing to, but you don't call him. He's gone. He's dead. Are you willing to wait for him to reach out to you?
Yes.
I mean, you have the right to be, you have a right to be a man chasing a woman who's not faithful. You have that right if you want.
Well, he loves me to chase him, and I try not to, but if I don't chase him, then he blames me for not seeing each other, or what's going on. Are you seeing someone else? You know that.
I know, here, but that's what do get one pair of women, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right or not?
Maybe. I asked him that last night. I said, are you seeing several women? Are you seeing another woman? I said, what is going on? You're accusing me of not seeing anyone. Yeah.
He didn't say anything?
He was so quiet. He doesn't talk when he doesn't. When
I know that.
Confronted.
But that means you get to fill in the answer. If he doesn't say yes or no, you know it's yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I asked him why he clams up.
Nature has not built men or women to be monogamous. You understand that?
Yes.
When human beings want to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term, have babies, and create a culture that isn't like the one we're raging with now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we even talked about that. And he said he thinks men, you know, can fall in love with more than one woman. He mentioned that because he said back in the day and blah, blah, blah. And so I just told him, but today is different, you know, and you make a commitment with one person. And so I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen things in his house that it makes me wonder. And
talking about him chasing you, wanting you. You see, I'm not talking about you chasing him. If you're chasing him, you already know how to do that.
Yes.
So do
and
it.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to chase him. Okay.
Will you do it my way for 8 weeks?
Yes.
Because he's got 8 weeks to miss you.
Okay.
All right.
And why? It's, you know, one more thing, Pat. It's like I'm texting my kids, you know, with him there. And I think he glanced over and saw something, maybe that I told my son, I love him. I love you, baby. I'll talk to you later. And I don't know if he saw that and got totally jealous and just was acting weird after that. Because he's like, are you texting your boyfriends? And I said, no, I'm texting my kids.
Well, let's see what he's going to do when you don't chase him and he chases you and you see without a ring on.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Call us back.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely update us.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. All right, Dr. Allen. Yeah, so that was an interesting interplay because when he won't do that, then she gives chase, then he's satisfied with that. So that really puts him in the feminine role?
Yep, this is what they have learned to do, practice. You see, this is how they were scripted, and that's what they do.
Very interesting. We have another letter here. Let me see what she has to say. Okay. My fiance has been disappearing for days at a time. Typically, he contacts me every day, but for the last 3 weeks, he's only been contacting me sporadically every 3 or 4 days. We are scheduled, our wedding is scheduled for June 3rd.
Wow.
Is he getting cold feet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, Dr. Allen, yes. So what do you do about that, Dr. Allen?
What you do about it is use my tools. And the tools which say, if she has evidence of unfaithfulness, she makes an appointment with him to talk about the relationship. She says, honey, I want to talk to you about our relationship with our oncoming wedding. Are you willing to talk to me? And when would it be convenient? And he says, now is fine. The first thing you say to him is, you have a right to not want to marry me, but I would be more comfortable if you told me that so I could cancel the wedding.
I love it.
What?
I love that, Dr. Allen. It's great because she's sitting here orbiting, not knowing what's going on. Okay, her next question is this a part of rumination, Dr. Allen? Is this the complex of, I'm going to see if I can live without you?
That's exactly right. It's the bachelor party gone wild.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah, I do.
So that's what I want. That she uses the tools. I'm going to teach the tools right now. Okay, Kelly?
Yes, perfect, Dr. Allen, because she's listening, but apparently she is not able to speak. I guess, I don't know why, but she's saying, I can't speak right now, but I'm listening.
Oh, good. Okay. There are five tools that my doctoral dissertation covers. And if you want to, you can read a book that I wrote after getting my PhD in 1974. And this is my doctoral statement. Androgynous, that's the men have yang bodies and yin souls, women have yin bodies and yang souls. Semantics, factual left lobe. Syntactical, right lobe feelings. I'll show you what that is. Realignment. What is here's an example. Mary, that's syntax, as opposed to Mary baked the black beans, which is they're already black and she baked them. So semantics is factual. In Germany, when they bought my book, they couldn't name it Getting to I Do because Germany doesn't go along with getting or doing. It either done or not done, factual, semantically. So my book, Getting to I Do, which is very syntax, getting, feelings, syntax, for one night. Do you see how factual that is? That's semantics.
Yes.
And so I've got two books in front of me. One is titled No Man for One Night, and one is titled Getting to I Do. Yin energy is moving. Semantic energy is solidly factual. So when men are right-handed, all women have big corpus callosums. All of us mix thoughts and feelings. Many of us are right-handed. They're either in their left lobe factually. Oh, come on, honey, get to the facts. That's how they talk. Or the romantic or angry or emotional, or, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. So with that in mind, when you deal with the man and you negotiate with him, you've got to know if you're going to say yes to his request, which is the usual free sex. Free sex. Right. Okay.
Okay, so we've got a caller on. Let's take a caller real quick, then we'll come back to our tools. Hey, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. My name is Larry, and my question is, if you're the person in the marriage who lied so much and lied so many times, how do you rebuild the trust in that marriage, in that relationship, to the point where the other person can see you as that provider and see you as the husband that you are? How do you rebuild the trust that's been lost?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. Here's what a man says. Oh, honey, come on. We've dated 3 times. I've put you out to dinner for 3 solid, gorgeous dates. I want to sleep with you. I want to make love to you. And my girl says, oh, thank you for the dates. And I really appreciate your attraction to me sexually. But I've made a commitment to myself not to be intimate, not to make love until I'm at least a monogamous, continuous girlfriend aiming towards marriage next year. So what do you think about that, right-handed man? And he says, I don't think much about that. I want to make love to you tonight and get to know you and come around, and then we can decide. But the truth of the matter is, the first day that they're married and she's 5 minutes late for dinner, poese. Why does he say that? Because he knows that the goal of most men is to get their penis in her mouth, anus, or vagina to trigger the oxytocin bonding so that she is dependent upon him and he's free to collect women. Got that?
Okay, but I was asking, how do you rebuild the trust, though, in a relationship once it's gone, though?
You don't. The person has to be valuable enough to forgive them and accept them as a human being making mistakes. Men never, never forget. Why? Because a man's job is to populate this palette of human reality we call Earth. A man is designed to populate the world. A woman is designed to show how to love. The way women get what they want is by knowing what they don't want. The Dalai Lama said it so nice. People are created to love one another and to use things. But in this world of chaos, we are using people, and I spend my time with my doctoral work teaching the 4 people, the male body with the female soul. There's never going to be a woman as sensitive as a man, ever. And there's never going to be a man stronger than a virtuous woman. And while he can hate her up the wall because she won't let his dick in her mouth, anus, or vagina, he will love her deeply when he decides she's worth marrying and giving babies to.
Now, what if he's married, but he made so many mistakes by lying to her that she doesn't trust him anymore? How does he fix that?
How does he fix that? The truth of the matter is, sir, when a woman is in love with a man, her body belongs to him right then. Oxytocin. Do you know what you have? You have vasopressin. Have you ever heard of that word?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Do you know what that word means?
I don't know what it means.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
They're starting to test little baby boys before they're 3 years old for vasopressin, because if the baby boy doesn't produce it, he cannot be monogamous. Got that? Only for one season.
Now, what I'm talking about when I say lying is verbal lies, though. I'm not talking about direct infidelity. I'm talking about verbal lies. How does he get her to trust him?
You don't need to trust. She needs to go with her body messages. Women run their lives from their neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin.
Can't read that. These are significant lies.
Will you take a risk on being with me with the full awareness that I know you're bonded to me physically and you don't really like me anymore, but I want us to make another run? Got any kids with her?
No, but we want kids, so...
Well, then promise her a kid, because that's a lifetime contract.
It is, and I want to be her husband forever and ever, and it pains me that I was reckless in the beginning of the relationship and told significant lies to her.
Did she require you to be monogamous, continuous, and promise marriage? Did she set the standard for virtue?
She did. She did an excellent job. She's a follower of you. I gave her a promise ring to start the relationship off with.
Oh, my God, my God, my God. Will you please tell her you called me?
You said have her call you?
No, I said, will you please tell her you called me?
Oh, she knows. She actually was the one that recommended I start listening to you, which was the best thing I've ever done.
I will call Pat Allen every week and ask questions. You can get her on the phone with you.
Yes. And I really want to fix my marriage. This is the most important thing in my entire life, more important than my job.
You are designed to be polygamous. Do you understand that? That's nature.
Yes.
Do you understand? I adore you for this phone call.
Yes.
For you to call me is going to confession. I don't know what religion you are. What are you?
Right now, I'm Catholic. I'm trying to go to church and be a good one, and make up
and
for
Catholic
things that
too.
I've done. Yes.
I understand that. Would you have you confessed? You're not married to this woman, are you?
I'm married to my wife. Yes, we're married.
You're married, so you are legally married.
We're legally married. Yes.
Okay, then would you please promise her to give her a baby?
Yes, and I also want to promise her that I'm going to cherish her for the rest of my life. She says I need to do a better job of cherishing her, and I agree.
I'm telling you how to cherish her. Tell her to get over. I have no problem with that.
Yes, I'm going to definitely tell her that, and what you were talking about earlier, too.
Have you read Getting to I Do yet?
No, but I do have your other book. You actually recommended Conversation Rape.
Conversation
I started reading
rape.
That. conversational rape. Yes.
I have another one, and it's called The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, But First It'll Piss You Off. I wrote that with an MIT grad who was not in favor of what I was teaching. I want you to understand, I adore you for this phone call. You have exhibited you have done the kind of surrender. I'm a mother figure. You have literally called a mother figure and admitted your crime. This is an international radio show. I am willing for you to come on the show, and I will do a little bit of work with the two of you if you're both willing. Whoever's not willing to do it is not trustworthy. The only thing you have to trust somebody is that they are willing to be teachable.
Yes. I'm willing to be teachable. Yes.
Well, that's what I do, and I do it in the most... Who ever heard? I'm 87 years old.
Yes.
Teaching young people. I've been married 4 times. Been twice. I have lived. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I have weighed 205 pounds. And I'm happy.
Yes. And that's what I want for the two of us, to be happy, for me and her to be happy.
I know that. I know that. And be sure you get her the book, You Were Not Born to Suffer, by Blake D. Bauer. It's to overcome fear, insecurity, depression, and to love yourself. Back to happiness, confidence, and peace. It's a wonderful the guy that wrote this was a real creep like me. Okay. And we do a little bit of work.
Absolutely. And the truth will set you free. Yes, that's absolutely true. And I want to cherish this relationship. And I appreciate everything, Dr. Allen. Thank you.
And if you really want to study, you can go find out if you have no vasopressin. If you have no vasopressin, every good-looking woman will trigger your dick to go stiff.
I understand. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Allen. And I will try to call in weekly for you.
Good, good, good.
All right. Take care, Dr. Allen.
Good night.
Thank you, caller. We hope you will call back. Okay, Dr. Allen, we've got another call in the queue. Sam's getting it for us right now.
Phone is working.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great, Dr. Allen.
So the phone is doing great.
You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question. There's a man who's taken me out on a couple of dates, and he said on the last date that he is 9 months sober from a drug addiction. Is that like a red flag to date someone who's newly, I guess off of drugs?
Is he in the program?
It doesn't sound like it, because I'm familiar with the program because I have a sugar addiction, but he went to rehab and I guess got sober at rehab and then...
He went to the program at the rehab.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to a rehab program. I don't know if he's doing 12-step program, but he said he's in therapy. I don't know.
Well, rehab, they're usually set up around AA.
Yeah, I guess it was something similar to an AA thing, but
yeah. Likely Narcanon. Typically okay. Narcanon.
So with that in mind, what is your question to me?
Is that okay to date someone who's, you know, that new in sobriety? Is that, you know, is that like a red flag to date someone who's got 9 months of sobriety from a, you know, from a drug addiction?
9 months of sobriety is the beginning of sobriety. So for a person to be anywhere near teachable when it comes to addiction,
mm-hmm.
he may not be ready to legally marry because he's not safe enough. And you have to watch him learn how to be safe for you.
Hmm. Okay, that brings another question, because the other thing he said is that, you know, the addiction, I guess, ended the marriage he was in, and so he's going through a divorce. So he's not even legally divorced yet.
Well, what's wrong with dating somebody and not having sex?
Okay, so that's the, I guess that's the boundary, is that it's just dating without sex.
You can date, but no making love until you're engaged.
Oh, okay. So until, okay. So that far down the line. Okay.
What do you mean that far down the line? You can be engaged in a week.
Well, he's still legally married to someone else.
Well, no, getting married is not engaged.
Okay. What, so a ring.
I want the public to know that you're engaged by seeing your finger.
Got it. Okay.
A live-in girlfriend, a girlfriend without a ring, is fine for a safe couple. But if they're working on an addiction,
yeah,
I'd say, you know, you've got easily a year to observe his sobriety. Right.
And you're right. Yeah. So you're saying that in that year period, though, to not make love in that year period.
I don't want you to trigger your body into an addiction for you to be.
Yeah, I see.
Remember what this man said? He said she was following my directions.
Yeah.
Now he is impressed with the virtue, and I just offered them, do you see what I did?
Yeah.
I offered them a spot on the radio show so that I can go into it the way I go into it, and then that will demonstrate whether he is or is not trustworthy.
Hmm. Okay. So the way I would say that is same as your other thing, where if when it comes to the time where he asks for sex, that's when I would make the statement, thank you, but I made a commitment to myself that I'm waiting until I'm engaged.
And right? We've known each other a year.
Wow, okay.
He's sober 9 months. He's got three months.
Oh, until he's sober 1 year.
The program generally teaches no big deals like getting engaged in that first year.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Okay.
Are you in the program?
Yeah, I'm in a program for food addiction, though. I mean, but yes, I am.
How long are you sober?
Almost 2 years.
How much?
It'll be 2 years in May.
Oh, good. 2 years for May. Okay. That's a decent beginning.
Yeah.
I think no sex sex is just tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, and hearing. Mm-hmm. I want you to make love with a sober human being.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll report back. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Good. Thank you, caller. Right, yeah, bye. Definitely keep us updated.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's check in with Sam, see if we've got any more calls before we get back into our tools. And, hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
What is it?
Last week, a guy asked me out on a date, and at the end of the date, at the end of the date, he said that he only wants to date me. It was the first date. But as far as planning dates, he said he wanted to go play that by ear and not, like, plan a day ahead of time. And I just don't know what to do with that.
He wants to only ask you out the day before he dates you?
Something. He just said he wanted to play it by ear when planning dates.
Kelly, please interpret what that says.
He wants to play it by ear when it comes to planning dates. In other words, like maybe, I don't know, would that possibly mean he wants to be impulsive?
Yeah, sounds like it.
So it's my first date.
I want to make my weekend plans by Wednesday or Thursday. Which would?
Okay.
When do you want to know what you want to do? Are we talking about standard Friday night, Saturday night kind of dates?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Then what you say is, I want to know what I'm doing this weekend by Wednesday or Thursday. Which do you like?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. So you say, if you've got a Wednesday that you want to call me and book me for Friday or Saturday, fine. If not, okay, we're not compatible.
Okay. And then one of his dates that he asked me to was he wanted to cook dinner and for me to come over. And he said, if I wanted to, I could spend the night. And
of course,
I think
because he wants to put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina.
Right. So I thanked him for being generous with cooking, but I said I wasn't comfortable spending the night unless I was in a committed relationship.
That's right. You said, I'll take the dinner, but not the overnight. What did he say?
Okay. He said, first he said, you know, okay. And then said, no, I want.
He said no to you for doing what? He won't give you Wednesday?
He didn't give me a day yet, but he said he wanted me to be comfortable and he was going to plan a date in public.
What you're doing is you're not letting him be a woman and do what feels good impulsively.
Oh, okay. That's why it keeps coming up.
So, but you can work with him. You can say, I am more than willing to date you on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday if I know Wednesday.
Okay.
Is that right for you or not?
Yeah.
Then use that.
Okay.
Set aside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For those, because if he calls you on Wednesday and says, I want to take you out on Friday or this or that or whatever, as long as you have your outfit planned and you don't have anything better to do, it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in working with him on his distractions?
Yeah.
I mean, we're exploring. Have you dated him once?
We've only gone out once.
You've got two more dates to go before you decide the chemistry isn't good enough.
Okay.
He's either going to turn you on or he's going to turn you off.
No, he turned me on because,
have you been
my hand.
Did your body react?
Yes.
Well, then give him two dates to see if he will work with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And that means if he offers to cook dinner, then clarifying it's fine to cook dinner. I'm not ready to spend the night unless I'm going to. It's
you
just
don't
our
have
surprise that he backed off.
You can say no, but thank him for asking. Thank him for asking.
Okay.
What he asks you to do, other than letting his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina, is affection.
Okay.
And you have the right to thank him for it and then say it's not convenient or it is convenient.
Okay.
He's asked for what he wanted, and I support him in doing that. And I'm giving you the right to respectfully decline if it's not comfortable. Win-win.
All right. And then usually during the three dates in the beginning, is that usually when you have a conversation about what longevity
the beginning is to see if you have any chemistry? You already know you have chemistry.
Right.
He is afraid to fall in love with you.
Oh, and that's why he offered to spend the night.
That he's wanting to see how free you are.
Okay.
I don't want you to be free. I want you to be virtuously honest, but appreciative with his interest in pursuing you sensually and sexually.
Okay.
If you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it. If you don't, enjoy what you're doing.
Okay.
Are you willing to do this? There's
a
wonderful book called Living With, which is what he's doing, by Scott Wetzler, Wetzler. These are men that say, yes, they'll do something, and then they don't do it.
Oh, that's surprising. Could he portrayed himself as the opposite?
Well,
like his business life and the interactions to set up the first date. He just seemed like the guy that would, you know, say something and do it.
He sounds like a man who wants to be able to say, I don't feel like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He's following his feelings, and that's a woman.
Okay.
And he has a right to be a woman. And you have a right to say, I need to know what I'm doing on the weekend by Wednesday. If that doesn't work for you, feel free not to ask me.
Okay.
That's win-win.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. I like the way he's asking you. He's literally telling you, I'm a passive aggressive guy and I want to follow my feelings. And I'm letting you know that I do this in case you want to take a chance on me and let me leave.
Okay.
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 So thank you for asking me, because you both have a right to be who you are.
Okay. And so if he's not open to it, then that's when he'll start saying one thing and doing another.
Is what?
If he's not open to it, then he'll start saying one thing and doing another.
I don't understand what that question is.
If he's not open to what I want, for example, if I say I want a phone call by Wednesday.
That's why you're going to tell him if that doesn't work for you.
Okay.
You're being courteous. You're not, why don't you want to, that is so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on earth to be a we. We're all here to be I. Do you want a book on being an I?
I feel like I've had enough time.
Okay. What, talking to me?
No, for being an I.
Oh, you are willing to be an I, to tell your feelings.
Yes.
So if he calls you on Thursday or Friday, you will say, it's not Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Are you able to be?
In that case, I will change it to Thursday. Then yes.
Then change it to Thursday. If I don't know what I'm doing on the weekend by Thursday, I don't want to hear about it, because it'll be disappointing.
Yes.
So if you don't want me enough to want me for Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday, then date somebody who's willing to do it.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
That's you respecting him and him cherishing you. And that's what builds trust. Keeping your agreements, even if they're strange.
If he can't meet me that weekend, I could also say, you know, a phone call would feel good if we can't meet.
Wait a minute. Now you're moving into mothering him.
Oh, no. How do I, for the minimum amount of contact per week, how do I express that I want at least two types of contact per week if I'm in a relationship?
Honey, you can't ask him for what you want. You have the veto right, not the initiative right. He's telling you, I want to date you by my feelings. And if I change my feelings, I want you to understand I may call you and cancel on Friday morning.
Okay.
But he may ask you for a date Saturday on Thursday and then not keep it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And so you're agreeing to doing that.
Okay.
That's why I said have an outfit that's set up for putting on in 5 minutes.
Yes.
You might find the spontaneity interesting.
Yes.
There are people that
want to. But I would feel disappointed if it kept. Yeah. Say that again?
No, you can't be disappointed if he tells you, I may do this.
Oh, no, if there were two times he canceled the same day.
you can't handle? He's not
if there's
game,
no
he's manipulating. No. What?
It would.
He's telling you.
It would start to wear on me.
What?
If he canceled last minute several times, that would start to wear on me.
Then I want you to say, I want to tell you something about us. Is it convenient for you to listen? Yeah. You have every right to cancel dates. You have every right to tell me how you date, but I'm not comfortable, so I'm not going to date you anymore.
Okay.
See, people with chemistry sometimes accept people and their eccentricities.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to find that out in the first 3 dates.
Mm-hmm.
So I support you in respectfully telling him that you don't want to do this. But first go on a date where he does it and see if you like it. It's like emergency ward. You're on call.
Mm-hmm. I think I could handle that if I was in a committed relationship. But if it's in the beginning...
He may be willing to do... He didn't say that he wanted to have 15 girlfriends. He said, I may not want to finish a date promise because that's the way it is. I didn't hear him say that he wanted 15 women or something.
No. Okay.
He sounds like a very sensitive guy that is setting up a peaceful understanding between a woman he's interested in, or he wouldn't have given you this offer, and reality.
Oh, okay.
He told you the truth.
Yeah.
It's like dating. It's like I had a lady that had a couple of kids with a doctor that worked in an emergency ward. And she listened to me or something. And she said to him, I want you to be home at 5 o'clock to have dinner with the kids and I. He said, but sometimes I'm in emergency surgery. I don't care. I want you home with the kids at 5 o'clock. How long did that marriage last?
Not long.
That's right, because she didn't hear, you see?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't hear that his job that paid the bills was to stay for surgery if it popped up.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I like him for telling you, by the way, I'm passive aggressive. That's why I told you to read Scott Wetzler's book. But passive aggressive people say yes to doing something and then don't follow through.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that tell you they're going to do it are passive, but they're not aggressive. He warned you on the first date.
Okay.
So you might want to give him a second date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he also told me he had these trips planned and...
He doesn't like what?
He doesn't check his phone or stay in communication when he's on certain trips.
I don't know what you're saying. Kelly, can you explain what you...
Yeah, he doesn't stay in contact when he's on certain trips. I don't find that unusual. When I go on a vacation type trip, I don't stay in contact with my office or anything like that. So I don't know.
I would keep my request. Wanting is masculine. He wants a woman that respects him enough to be feminine.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So would you please at least try to give him 2 more dates?
Yes.
Okay, then you've done what you said you were going to do. Called me and I gave you direction.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Oh, Dr. Pat, we are out of time. What do you have to say before we go tonight?
Well, for tonight, I want to say, how come the phone worked?
Because God is in his heaven and all is right with the world.
Okay. Therefore, do you think we'll be doing better like this? This was okay.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will. I'm gonna talk to Bobby and see if we can update some stuff, but you know, we'll cross that bridge. We'll cross that bridge.
Well, what I wanna say is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are that you can keep.
Yes, Larry. I wanna reach out to Larry for a minute. Larry, did you hear what Dr. Allen just said? The commitments you're willing to make and keep. We love you all. We're so glad you were here with us tonight. We're going to be back next week. Until then, be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.